is the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwett, diabetic, type 1. Lordy, since Cyndi Lauper packed the Hollywood Bowl, my esteemed partner, he would be way over there.
Joining you on the phone through the wonders of technology, Doby Maxwell, type 2, highly stressed, but never too stressed to do a broadcast with my friend.
Oh, you're talking about me here.
And Donna, too, and Russ, and the whole gang.
Okay, making sure there. You sounded good on the monorific line, though, Doby. Thanks for joining us. Now,
well, thanks. I got my sports illustrated shoe fold that I got in 1987. I'm finally plugging it into the dashboard.
Doby, you know, with the technology we've got here, I mean, we've talked about the studios before. Compared to what they would refer to as the commercial radio stations, this place, head and shoulders, above and beyond. So,
well, I think this is a great subject to be able to talk about to other diabetic people, either type 1s or type 2s. The world is more stressful and hectic than it ever has been. And people are on the move, and they're on the go, and think, you know, you don't have time to eat right or exercise or come up with a routine. And I think you know how it is. It's like trying to get in a morning radio show pattern. You know, you have to get up early for 5 months to get used to it. Then you get fired, and it takes you 2 days to get used to going back to sleeping late again. And exercise. It takes you months to get in a groove. Then you stop for 3 days, and you're a fat slob again. And that's just the way life works. I don't know why, but it is.
You know, Doug, we've talked about this so many times in the past. When it always came to losing radio employment, and that's happened to me once or seven times, along with yourself. And the one thing that always came in common when it came to becoming terminated from your employment, from any radio signal, AM, FM, shortwave, or above and beyond, they always say to you, hey, stop by and see me after your show.
Yep, they got the whole buffet laid out, and it's nothing good to eat.
It's so true.
Crow and paperwork at the end to sign your death warrant.
The very first time that ever happened to me, Dub, general manager, real nice guy, but with the exception of, you know, terminating me, I never saw such a look of glee on his face. I mean, it was a week.
He's watching you walk out the door?
No, actually, he knew it was going to happen, and he was probably anticipating the joy he was about to see. But the most important part was I did not get my vacation, and I lost.
Oh, yes, you did. You're still on it.
Oh, yeah, but I wanted the paid kind, Doby.
Oh, no, you didn't say that. You said it for your vacation. Be careful what you wish for.
Let's talk stress.
Yes, let's talk it, because what Americans or citizens of Earth, not even Americans, Canadians, Uzbekistanians, Polish people, everybody's under stress. How do we tone the stress down as to not affect our health diabetically?
Well, yeah, that's going to be a question for our guest today. Again, it's going to be from United Hospital Systems, Donna Swanson, diabetic educational nurse, registered nurse. She has so many letters after her name.
Made wrong. A fortune in frozen dinners, I heard.
Oh, you know, it's true. And now that reminds me, our usual executive producer, Troy McDonald, he's apparently cashing in some of the McDonald's shares from the family, and so he's gone. Oh, we have Russ. Russ was our original, of course, number one choice to do the show.
Russ is good. Yes.
Yeah. But Troy's out of the listening area, right, Russ? Yeah. Okay. Good. Troy couldn't hear that anyway. So the deal is, you're on the road right now, and that's got to be extra hard. I know for me, being the type one, it again, what you're saying, it's a balance between your lifestyle, your food. Yeah, your exercise, but you hit it with stress. Stress can affect your insulin requirements. Well, for me, either way. Sometimes it shoots me high. Sometimes it shoots me low. I'm being type 1 diabetic. You know, for me, that means a lot with the insulin requirements that I'm trying to give myself. Now, with you, you're type 2. Really, if you look at type 2, it is a different disease, even though they do also refer to it as diabetes for a number of reasons. But now with you, what does it do to you with the stress?
What does it do to me?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It makes me stressful. I mean, I will say this, though, because Adana in previous episodes and other things that I have read said to try to plan your meals, which I never did before. But when I stop, a lot of times I'll have to stop at a truck stop, and that's your place, or in a hotel, and that's your grocery store. Mm. And I have learned to look at carbohydrates and to try to keep them down. And those those cranky little rascals are everywhere. You know, you don't realize how many of them are.
That's true.
Some of the sodas and candy bars, you know, you can eat and drink those things unbeknownst and just load yourself up. It's like, well, no wonder your blood sugar has a comma in it if you're reading.
Well, there are good carbs and bad carbs. Matter of fact, later in the segment, we've got some forum questions, which are really nice. You can get to us through the diabeticshow.com. There's a Facebook page. There's a Google Plus. I don't quite understand the technologies, but you'll find us. Just get to the Google, type in the Diabetic Show, and you can ask your questions. And one of them was, Toby, what's a good and bad carb? So, but that'll be the tease, so we can hold them for the entire 27 and a half minutes of entertainment value.
Well, I don't want to foreshadow it, but I got to believe if a carbohydrate is in a fruit or a vegetable, it's much better than one that's in a Holmes product.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
I don't think Little Debbie's cranking out good carbs.
Well, we'll leave that for Donna to confirm.
I agree with you. What I'm saying is, I think, you know, at least I've been. You go into this truck stop, and occasionally they'll have, you know, carrots and ranch dressing. And I know ranch dressing has some hidden carbohydrates in it as well, but eating carrots dipping in there is better than eating a Snickers bar.
Okay, I'll give you that. Now you're
I would think. Is that correct?
She's shaking her head. Are you even listening, Donna? You don't have to listen till the
yeah,
second.
Yeah, do you want me to jump in?
feel free.
Carrots are great. It's probably not enough carbs. Excuse me. Most people need about 30 to 45, and for bigger, taller men, need 45 to 60 per meal. So, but yes, when we're talking good and bad carbs, you hit all the hot spots. If you're going and getting food on the road, having to purchase it in truck stops or, you know, convenience stores, that sort of thing, you're more than likely going to be looking at a lot of processed foods, which are loaded with high refined carbohydrates and concentrated sugars.
We kind of figured out if it tastes good, it's probably not good for you.
Well, that's not true, though. I mean, you look at all the ways you can make. I mean, it comes down to, am I going to eat processed foods that are like convenience foods, like Dobie had talked about, Little Debbie's, things like that. You know, you buy these snack foods that are come in a bag and whatnot, but you can cook some wonderful, tasty meals, but it goes back to cooking whole foods. So most of your healthy carbs are going to come in the form of starchy vegetables, grains that are more whole foods and less processed.
So even though Little Debbie's has that inviting smile on the package where she's like, come on down, try this. It tastes good. You're saying it's a minefield.
It's going to shoot your blood sugar really quick.
Dobie, just pick up some rough edge vegetables and hold on tight, okay?
Well, that's the thing. It's hard to make the good choices without effort. It's easy to make bad choices without thinking. Oh, I've got 500 miles to drive. I'll just grab this because it's right at the checkout. They don't hide the carrots at the checkout. You gotta
close out. Oh, goodness.
It's true, but you know, he's already mentioned like a lot of the success, how to be successful at that, and that's really all about planning. Mm. Knowing, waking up in the morning and knowing how your day is gonna go.
Dobie, see all this knowledge, it's sticking to you despite your best efforts.
Well, it should stick to the listeners too, because I'm a complete idiot and I've been doing this for 30 years. It's easy to develop bad habits. But I know when I was first diagnosed, I wasn't necessarily on the road for quite a long time. So for almost 2.5 years, I think I didn't have a soda, not one, diet or regular. A bubble did not pass my lips. And then one day I started up again, and it's so, like smokers. They say they stopped smoking for years, and they pick one up, and they're back right where they were again. It's hard. I'm just telling you the truth.
Dobie, you brought up a really good point. And whenever we do this show, folks, we don't talk about what we're going to talk about. We'll come in with a general plan, and it probably falls apart in the first, I don't know, 3 seconds, and then we have to go from there. But you actually hit on something that we're talking about with the news today, because this has been a very large, diabetically driven news week. I'll start with yours, even though it's not the biggest, but you brought it up. 2 fizzy drinks a day double the risk of diabetes, even if they're diet versions. This is according to a new Swedish study, and if you've ever known a Swede, they're not going to lie. Research by the Karolinska Institute, 2,800 adults found that those who consumed at least 2 soft drink servings daily, and I believe we'll call it a can, 2.4 times is likely to suffer from a form of diabetes. In particular, this story is pointing at type 2 diabetes. Now, many fizzy drinks are, it really doesn't matter. You would think, well, a diet soda, I don't have to worry about it. But apparently it does. And if you do drink the sugary sodas, a tenfold rise in their chance of suffering from type 2 diabetes. The increased risks were the same regardless, as I told you, they're sugary or artificially sweetened. The sugary drinks may have induced insulin resistance, which is something we've talked about before, triggering the cause of diabetes. The artificial sweeteners in diet drinks may stimulate and distort appetite. Now, I've heard this many different times with Splenda or any of the other, no matter what your artificial sweetener is, whatever color it is, yellow, blue, and there's a pink. Pink was the, I always forget the pink one. Anyway, artificial sweeteners may stimulate, distort the appetite, increasing food intake, actually encouraging a sweet tooth. Do you drink diets, Dobie, or when you drink the fizzies, do you go the full boat sugar?
You know, I'm a hypocrite, like a lot of people are. Sometimes I'll put half and half in the same, you know, same cup.
Really?
I get my carcinogenic drugs and my heart numbing sugar in the same cup. Sometimes I'll alternate drink. I know they're bad. I'm fooling myself. It's like smokers using that stuff to brush their teeth. No, your breath stinks, your lungs are rotting out, you're a smoker, you're going to die of lung cancer. Sorry, I don't know how to sugarcoat that.
But
this is not the lung cancer show, it's the diabetic show. I drive, I try to eat better, I try to exercise, I fool myself because I love sodas, pop, whatever you call it, Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, they are my drugs of choice. And I need help. I think I should go to the Betty Ford Clinic and try out from sodas.
It's a day at a time, Dobie. You just got to wake up each and every morning and say, I will not.
But it's cold and it's bubbly and it's delicious and I know I shouldn't. What, it's unrequited love.
You bring up a good point. What is your bad dietary habit? What's the one thing that you know you shouldn't, yet you should and you do?
Talking to me?
Yes. Am I talking to you?
Are you talking to me? Were you the only one who's... Yes, it's sodas. That's always been my killer.
Really? Because yeah. I know with you, the type 2 really hits you upside the head like a sledgehammer. I mean, you were doing fine, you know, occasionally getting you know terminated from radio stations and such. But overall, your health was not bad. I mean, you never ingested drugs. Yeah, I never saw you with a cigarette. I mean, you were the poster child. For, hey.
Well, I tried to eat good. I knew being on the road for an entire lifetime. Well, I tried to watch my diet, and I've never had much of a sweet tooth, like for desserts and things like that. I could easily, you could tell me, give me another scoop of vegetable that I like and skip dessert. I'm okay with that. But it's always been that soda has always been that sneaky silent killer.
Ah, okay. And also, either keep your mouth up to the to the phone or get yourself another plan, because I'm telling you, we can barely hear you now. But we'll keep going.
I'm doing the best I can. You're forcing me to do this in my stress-filled life. When my heart pops like a zit, my radio partner will be blamed for my quick and painless death. So you know that.
As long as I get all those autographed posters, Tob. Let's move on. Before I leave this one story, though, because consumers of soft drinks, it seems, they're kind of tying it in to the lifestyle of the soft drink drinkers as opposed to, you know, the factor of why they're diabetic. Last year, there was a study by Harvard University. It suggested 2 cans of fizzy pop, that could be you, increased the risk of heart attacks and strokes. The study found that drinks raised the risk of heart attacks by 1/3, and the risk of strokes by 1/6. Other studies have linked sugary drinks to a raised risk of prostate cancer. So you got that going for you. And also this week, off the same study, it found women who regularly consume soft drinks may be reducing their chances of getting pregnant.
Wow.
I thought you'd have more to add, but we'll move on.
No, I'm just saying, I'm struggling with this. It's like, okay, more bad news. But I mean, I think everybody knows what's wrong. I think a lot of people don't. Before I was diagnosed, I really didn't realize that it had all those effects. And yeah, there's a little bit of sugar in it. Maybe I'll get a couple of cavities in my teeth, but boy, it tastes so good. Then you bring up these kind of subjects, and it's like the smoking industry. Now, they don't want you to know that it causes cancer in lab rats. Well, feed a lab rat 500 Mountain Dews, it'll probably get a tumor the size of a ravioli as well.
One more story before we hit the break, Dob. And this really was the big one. This was the leader, the Medtronic 670G. Some people referring to that as the only pump system worthy of the label artificial pancreas. It still requires a fair amount of user input. There's a lot of artificial pancreas pump systems and clinical trials currently that may offer the promise of even more automation of blood sugar control. The results of two recent trials, as reported by Medscape, show the promise of both the 670G and those of another system, which is called a Beta Bionics Islet, a combination insulin and glucagon system. The Islet trial can serve as a reminder to the diabetes tech industry that while the 670G may be an important introduction to the era of the artificial pancreas, it might not be the final word. Now, Dobie, I get a lot of a whole bunch of emails from different sites regarding diabetes because I figure, hey, I am one. We do this show.
Right.
I've never seen such a rollout for the 670G. Three different sources that I get all had this story literally coming right from the CEO of Medtronic. So this is a huge deal in the diabetic industry. So hopefully we'll be getting somebody from Medtronic on before shortly, and we'll go over this. It's basically a hybrid system, but the bottom line is if it increases your life, then it's always a good thing.
Do you have an opinion on it? Do you think it's good or bad?
I'm hoping right now. I don't know. How about the person over there? What do you think, Donna?
I think it's very...
She wasn't ready. She's always ready for parts two and three. Go ahead.
Very promising research.
Yeah.
No, don't accuse me of that.
Okay.
I try very hard not to.
it's like you say, we all fight it diabetic and non-diabetic alike.
Though, I must say, I limit my diet soda consumption, but I have not had a regular soda in over 10 years. But it really takes, initially, it took a lot of discipline. Mm. But then once you get used to it, it's like anything. You know, it's a habit. And your taste buds will change based on what you give them.
Here we go.
Acquired taste.
The common sense, Dobie, always obsess me when I get
not
put in
worth
my
getting
place.
Stressed over. But yes,
I'm chewing a piece of liver right now.
he's big big on when it comes to cholesterol inducing.
But the artificial pancreas is very, very promising technology.
Now, is this something that's new in its form? I mean, where they're calling it an artificial pancreas as opposed to a CGM, which is a continuous glucose monitor that you put in conjunction with an insulin pump, which are right now we're talking two products on you. This is one. Is that what I'm getting from it?
That's what the technology is based off of. And we just got information once the FDA released that it had been approved, that it's going to be available, and Medtronic has already verified that it should be available in the spring. So we should see a huge influx of people wanting to get in on this great technology.
Dobie, here's the deal. I'm sure we can get Donna to talk to the CEO of Medtronic for us.
I don't know about that. I don't have that pull.
Oh, you never know until they hang up on you.
You
trust me. Okay. I tell you what, let's take the break here. We've gone a little long-winded, but we'll come back. And actually, the focus of the show, we kind of had a focus, did we? Yeah. We're coming into the season now, and we kind of touched on the subject as far as getting ready for the holidays and how to deal with the holidays.
Yes, we had left off on that the last show.
That's true.
I think we never got around to finishing that.
We'll retouch on that subject. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll take the break here. The Diabetic Show. Be right back. The Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwitt, type 1. My learned colleague. Well, he is learned. He's way over there on the monorific lines.
I'm Toby Maxwell, type 2. I have my hands pressed against the steering wheel and my hopes and dreams hoping we finish this show.
He's actually working. It's a long story. We'll make that on another show when we have time. The deal is, though, Dobie, during the break, you mentioned coffee to Donna. And interesting with Donna, and we've known her for about a year. Oh, and by the way, Dobie, next month is our one-year anniversary on the show, so we'll have to come up with something, okay? Just throwing it out there for you in case you're going to be buying something for myself or Donna, okay?
Okay.
Okay. But coffee. You touched on coffee. Now, as long as I've known Donna, I would take her to do coffee with cream and sugar. Yet, Totally wrong. Totally wrong. I had no idea. First off, you drink coffee.
I do.
You like it black.
I do.
See, and I did morning shows for a number of years, like Dolby, but Dolby never touched coffee, right? I mean, Dolby, you're caffeine-free pretty much, right?
No. I did caffeine, but it was a Pepsi Mountain Dew, and that's how I developed my addiction.
That's right.
And I do call it an addiction because I look forward to it. And then it got to the point where caffeine didn't make, I could drink two Mountain Dews and go to sleep.
So you build it up, sure. Okay, well, then I'll amend. It's the hot caffeine. You were really not a fan of at that moment.
No, I just don't think coffee, to me, tastes good. I've had maybe 3 cups in my life, and there's a distinct flavor. I think maybe it's an acquired taste that I haven't acquired yet. Donna, what do you think about people that are diabetic? Is it safe to drink coffee? Are there carbohydrates in it? I wouldn't think so, but maybe there are.
No, you're absolutely right. That's why I asked if you were a coffee drinker, because it is one of the what we consider to be free foods or free beverages that people can drink. And I grew up, I know you tease me about this, but I grew up in a house full of people that drank their coffee with cream and sugar. And
right.
As an adult, I decided, you know, I don't need that excess sugar because I'd rather eat than drink my sugar intake.
See, that's, again, you touch on that. It's a choice.
It is. And, you know, your taste buds will get used to whatever you provide them with. So, for example, we talked about artificial sweeteners earlier. The more artificial sweeteners we tend to eat or drink, we end up craving more sweets. That's been studied and proven. So the idea that coffee, caffeine has its negative effects, but there's a lot of studies out there that show it's beneficial to drink, to have caffeine, but in, you know, not in excess. So it goes back to moderation.
Yeah, but what's excess?
Well, I guess, you know,
speaking as when I did the mornings, one of the most traumatic days I ever had, if you have a moment, it's dark in the radio stations back in the days when it wasn't 24 hours, and I'm making that coffee in the dark and putting it all together and drinking it and then kind of waking up, getting the show prep going, getting the news together, and I'm before you know it, you know, the drug is coursing through the veins, everything's going well, except for the pronunciation, and sometimes I tend to mumble. But then the news guy comes in and he goes, "Mark, I had no idea you drank decaf." Oh my, I had no idea what that orange thing on the top of the container meant. And instant headache. It just popped and to this day. No caffeine. I can't go there. I need the real McCoy as I hit the, you know, the veins, or that's it. But you said you can learn to taste anything, or at least to what? Enjoy it? I mean, is what we're looking at?
I actually prefer, now if somebody gave me a cup of coffee with cream and sugar in it, it would taste disgusting to me because my taste buds are so used to drinking it black now. It's sort of like going from drinking whole milk as a kid, and then as an adult you gradually go down to 2%, then 1%, then skim. And then once you go back to a whole milk, you drink that, you're like, ugh, you can taste all the fat in it. So it's no different. Your taste buds really get used to what you allow them to have.
Wow. You thinking about picking it up, Dolby?
Yes.
Are you thinking about picking up the hot caffeine then?
Hot caffeine? No, I'm not thinking about it. No, I'll just go through life sleeping.
Well, tea, too. That's another option.
Yeah, there you go,
tea. You can do iced tea. You just get rid of the sweetener out of it. So there's options out there. And then there's a lot of people, too, that nowadays are going to infusing water, things like that, to give it some flavor.
Yeah, but doesn't that do the same thing with the brain that they're talking about the artificial sweeteners doing?
Well, I'm not talking about infusing it with artificial sweeteners.
Just the flavor.
Fruit.
Oh, the fruit flavor.
Fruit. I mean, now you'll even see people infusing water with, like, cucumber and mixing. I mean, it's delicious. If you've never had it,
never had
cucumber, owe it to yourself
water.
To try it.
Really?
It's wonderful. Yeah, it's very refreshing.
What about those various drop flavors that they tell you to put in the water? I can't give brand names out.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Is it the same type of thing?
I would have to read the label on the specific one to see if it has some sort of artificial sweetener in it or
but
not.
That's
so
the
I can't
key.
Really endorse it. Yeah.
Okay. The artificial sweetener being the key. All righty. I tell you what, something else I picked up on, another one of these news stories off this last week, 30 minutes of exercise a day, 5 days a week. Maybe I do too. Now, the report that I'm reading here, if you do the full 30 minutes for 5 days a week, when it comes to getting in a diabetic condition, much less chance of getting diabetes with that exercise. But when it comes to that type of exercise, 30 minutes a day, are we talking about where you get the heart moving above and beyond for 30 minutes when it comes to the usual beat patterns? Or can you do weights? I know there's cardio and there's what are we talking about for exercise for the body? What responds best for diabetic?
So exercise, basically 30 minutes a day can be broken up. There's been lots of studies on it. It makes your cells more sensitive to your body's own insulin.
Now, wait, so, explain that to me. It makes your cells more, you mean for insulin to get in?
Or, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So exercise, basically, we say there's no wrong time of day to do it. You definitely, for if somebody has a busy, hectic lifestyle, they can split it up 15 minutes in the morning, 15 in the evening. However,
really?
Yep. It can be as simple as walking. We just want to keep people active, keep those cells sensitive. When people are sedentary behavior has been linked to increased resistance, and that's what we're trying to avoid. And it makes it harder for insulin to move sugar into the cell and out of the bloodstream. So the idea with activity and exercise is that we want to keep people moving, we want to keep them active. And the American Diabetes Association right now, their latest recommendations are 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. I always encourage people to do it daily because the reality is when people set a goal for 5 days a week, life interferes. There's things that come up.
Exactly.
So if somebody sets a goal of 5 days a week, they usually maybe get in three on average.
So it's better to have any than none. Is it really what you're saying? You don't have to get that hard pump, sweat in your eyes type of a workout.
You don't have to, but you know, ideally, there's a lot of benefit to like weightlifting and things like that, strength training, because when we stress our muscles, stress our bones, makes our bones stronger, for one. So it helps with the osteoporosis, among other things. But it also increases our metabolic rate so that we're burning calories even while we're sleeping. Mm. So your metabolic rate is going to go up, and you'll be utilizing that energy much more efficiently.
Excellent. I tell you what, we've only got a couple minutes left here before we say goodbye. We have to do one of the forum questions. We kind of went over these before the show. Which one did you want to touch on? We kind of hit the carb. Did we really explain that well enough?
Well, the difference between, I think the question was the difference between, what is the difference between good carbs and bad carbs?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we touched on that. That's like, you know, whole foods, obviously.
Fibery as opposed to quick sugars. Okay.
Yep.
Then I've got one interesting question. This is from Mandy. She's a type 2. She started on metformin, recently diagnosed weeks ago. But since she's been ungodly irritable. And according to Mandy, I'm using Mandy here, raging, okay? Every little thing is driving me up the wall. Maybe she listens to the show. Yeah, that's a possibility. But this is the complete opposite of my personality, and everyone's noticed a change, a dramatic change in her behavior. And the basic question is, can metformin cause mood swings? Or, again, as Mandy said, rage.
Well, you know, ironically, I've not heard that about metformin, but I've heard, you know, I think it'd probably be more likely that there's another cause, and it could be high or low blood sugar. So the first thing I'd recommend is she test her blood sugar when she feels this way and see if her blood sugar is high or low.
Beautiful.
More likely low.
Generally, you're right.
But metformin usually doesn't cause low blood sugar. So, but it, you know, it can if there's other factors lowering it as well.
Very good. Mandy, good luck with that rage. Really. We want to thank everybody for listening. Show's over. Dobie, I'm sure he'll be fine.
We'll have to check on him. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, but think of the T-shirt sales.
No.
Okay. Again, Russ, thank you so much for filling in for Troy. And hope to work with you soon. Thanks so much for listening. TheDiabeticShow.com. Facebook, you'll get there from here. The Diabetic Show, thanks for listening. No sugar tonight, no coffee, no sugar tonight.